Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Man, I'm excited to preach to you guys today. So we are going to look at Exodus chapter 16, verses 9 to 20. And so if you're a note taker, you can write that down. But a bit of context to the story before I get into it is that God's chosen people, the Israelites, have been in slavery for hundreds of years. And the Lord appears to this terribly insecure man, this guilty man, this sinful man named Moses. And he says, Moses, I have chosen you to lead my people, the Israelites, out of slavery and into the promised land. And he obviously has this dialogue with God and he wrestles with him for a long time. And then Aaron gets brought into the picture. And we're about to embark on a story that is quite, like, I don't know, it's kind of epic, really. There's so many amazing, cool things that God actually does to deliver his people from the place that they are to where they're going to go. And I'm talking about, like things that you would see in a movie. So it's like plagues, there's a lot of frogs, there's locusts, there's like staffs being turned into snakes and then snakes being turned into staffs. And it's the whole image or the whole story for the first few chapters of Exodus, it's quite outrageous, really. It's almost cinematic, like it's something that you would see in a movie. And so what ends up happening is Moses goes into Egypt, all this crazy stuff happens, and Pharaoh's like, you know what, just take them. Like, you're driving us crazy, get them out of here. And so the whole, like, this in itself is miraculous. Like, the whole nation of Israel is released out of this place of slavery and they begin their journey to the promised land. Along their way, Pharaoh changes his mind and he's like, actually, go get them and bring them back. And so the Israelites are in this really terrible predicament where they're like, they're chasing after us. And when we go back, it's going to be worse than how it started. And so what does God do? He does another pretty epic, miraculous, mighty thing, and he parts the Red Sea so that the Israelites, the whole nation, can cross over to the other side on dry ground. This in itself is crazy. And they reach the other side, and then God just delivers them of their enemies, and it's an amazing story. But you would kind of think that after this miraculous, like all of these miracles, this miraculous deliverance out of Egypt, you would think that as they crossed over to the other side, there would be some really great things awaiting them. But the issue was that they crossed over and they realized that they were in a wilderness. And then they were like, you know what? We're in the wilderness and there's no food here. There's no food. And that is a bit of an awkward place to be in. And suddenly, the God that delivered them from the place of slavery and the water that literally parted so that they could cross over on dry ground would have seemed probably a million miles away, not because it wasn't epic, not because it wasn't cool, but because at the end of the day, they'd crossed over and they were in the wilderness and now they were hungry. Now they were hungry. And so the Israelites, they complained, they grumbled as we also do. And then we're going to read from verse 9 because Moses, he sought the Lord and the Lord spoke to him about what was about to take place. And so from verse 9, we're going to read Exodus 16. Then Moses told Aaron, say to the Israelite community, come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling. While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. That evening, quail came and it covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, what is it? For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, it is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent. The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some gathered little. And when they measured it by the omer, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Everyone had gathered as much as they needed. Then Moses said to them, no one is to keep any of it until morning. However, some of them paid no attention to Moses, and they kept it until morning, but it was full of maggots and it began to smell, so Moses was angry with them. Title of my message this morning is this: Good Morning Mercy. Everyone say good morning. Everyone say mercy. Good morning mercy. We have to know that everything that God does, he does with purpose and intention, okay? God doesn't just accidentally do things. He doesn't just like sprinkle around miracles here and there like it doesn't mean anything. So when we read the Bible and when we read these stories, we don't want to read it like it was just something that happened, but let's ask ourselves why, okay? Why did God choose to respond to the Israelites' need the way that he did? I mean, at the end of the day, why couldn't he have just populated the land with fruit and vegetables, right? Why didn't he just give them a massive feast for them to store up for the next couple of months? Why give them something that they've never had before and something that they didn't even recognize? Why is it so wrong to try and be efficient and collect, go out and collect food for the week? I mean, I do my grocery shopping week to week, right? It's efficiency. What is so wrong with this, and why aren't they able to do it? Is it not wisdom to break it apart and to ration it day by day? Because what if there's not food in the morning? Then they've just wasted the provision for the day, right? And we have to ask this question of why. Why did God respond to the Israelites' need the way that he did? But he didn't respond any of these ways. He didn't respond by inviting the people to work for their provision. He didn't invite the people into a way of living where they had to figure it out and they had to fix the problem. He invited them to a completely new way of living, which actually involved coming to him and receiving what he had laid out upon, like out for them every single day. Every single day. He did not want them to be partaking and eating and feasting off old bread. He wanted to give them new bread, and not just new bread every week. He wanted to give them new bread every single day. The story is about food, yes, but principally it's actually about communion. Notice how God invites his people every single day, day in and day out, to come back. To come back. He was teaching them and he was teaching us how to come back and receive. Whether the Israelites were hungry or whether they were fed, it had nothing to do with provision, and it had everything to do with their willingness to go out and receive it. The bread was there. The manna was there day in and day out because the Lord is faithful, because the Lord is good. The question of whether they were hungry or whether they were fed was actually not a provision problem, it was a receiving problem. I really love to sleep. Does anybody else love to sleep? Yes, we got some sleepers. I'm pretty sure that was all my youth team that put their hands up. And we know, because when they're late on Fridays, they're having a nap every time. Sorry, guys, I just called you out. But I really love to sleep. My mum's favorite story to share when I ask about my childhood is that I was the sleeper. And so I think that works really well for her. But she says my response to everything was, can I go to bed now? So she would take me out and I would just be like, can we go home so I can go to bed now? Apparently, I just slept through everything. I slept through the night all the time. I just wanted to sleep 24/7. And 20 years later, not much has changed. I still love my sleep. I'm not a morning person and I'm not a night person. So I don't stay up all night and sleep in, and I don't wake up early and go to bed like early. It's just not what happens. I just like to sleep for a long time. And 8 o'clock is a good time for me. But any time before that, it's a struggle. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Like, I really struggle any time before 8 o'clock. And so, much to my surprise, about 2 years ago, or maybe a year and a half ago, the Lord wakes me up at 6 a.m. and he says this. He says, Kate, it's time to get up. And I was like, is it? I don't know. I'm not feeling it. And so I thought, this kind of sounds like the other voice, you know, the one you're not supposed to listen to. So resist and he will flee, right? Didn't happen. The Lord kept knocking on the door of my heart and said, Kate, it's time to get up. I roll over and he says, Kate, it's time to get up. And I'm thinking, at 6 a.m.? This is ridiculous. And then I asked why. I said, Lord, why do you need me to wake up right now? And he said, it's time to wake up and spend time with me. I'm breaking your will. Oh, yeah. Isn't that a thrilling Tuesday invitation? Good morning. Welcome to a Tuesday of me breaking your will. I wonder why I stayed in bed. But I found myself wrestling for so long, longer than I would like to admit, until I finally yielded and I dragged myself out of bed. I went to the kitchen, made myself a coffee, opened up my Bible and started to pray a bit. Wasn't as holy as it sounds. I was bitter most of the time because I was tired. And so I did this and then I can't really remember what happened the rest of the day. I'm not going to lie. But I do remember getting to the end of the day and going to bed and getting ready to set my alarm for 8 a.m. And the Lord speaks again and he says, I'll see you at 6. And I was like, no! I was devastated because I was like, oh, I said yes this morning. Do I have to say yes again? And I'm not even kidding. For the next 3 months of my life, I was up at 6 a.m. Every single morning. Sometimes I slept through, not going to lie, but that's all right. And this was a very intense 3 months of my life. I'm not here to preach a message about you waking up at 6 a.m., don't worry. But the Lord, in his wisdom and in his kindness, he knew that the more that was about to be required of me in that time would actually require a greater closeness. And so he kept waking me up and being like, okay, Kate, it's time to spend time with me. He was developing a discipline in me. He was breaking my will. He was showing me in his kindness and in his wisdom what I needed before I actually knew that I needed it. It was a very intense 3 months of my life. And I'm actually, yeah, I'm not here to preach a message about waking up at 6 a.m. My prayer is that the Lord would actually use my words today to supernaturally birth a hunger on the inside of you, to see God work in your life every single day, to see him do the big things on ordinary days. I love Sundays as much as the next person, but my Sunday fill, it barely lasts me to Monday, yet alone Tuesday. Kind of like the Israelites when the Lord parted the sea, but by the time they crossed over and realized they were hungry, what had just happened was probably far gone, because at the end of the day, they needed to be fed. They needed food. So it's like, it's great to have the big, great moments. And I am an advocate for them. I love it when the Holy Spirit rocks up in mighty, miraculous ways. But at the end of the day, I also recognize that there is a day-to-day life that we have to live. And we also need to be filled. We're hungry. You did great things there, but I'm hungry now. Sunday is good, but there's got to be a place that we go every other day of the week when we need breakthrough. There's got to be another place that we go every other day of the week when we need to be awakened and revived. There's got to be another place that we go when I feel lonely and depressed. There's got to be a place that we go when I need peace. There's got to be a place I go when I'm burdened and troubled by all of the different things that are surrounding me in my life. There's got to be a place we go for that, and that is called the secret place. The secret place. We don't serve a Jesus who is far removed and detached from our reality, who is exclusively able to move in the confines of a church and unable to meet us in the ordinary rhythms of our day-to-day life. That is not the Jesus that I know, and that is not the Jesus that I read about in my Bible. He is a God of the every single day. He is with me at the altar on Sundays, and he's with me when I feel lonely on Thursday. He is well acquainted with every single one of your desires and your needs day-to-day. Lamentations 3:22-23. It says, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh every single morning. Everyone say, good morning, mercy. Have you ever seen a really great sunrise? I had to pull an all-nighter. Sleep seems to be a common theme. It wasn't willingly. I had to pull an all-nighter. And I was angry the whole time because I just wanted to go home and sleep. But as I was driving home in the early hours of the morning, just before the sunrise, it started, I was frustrated and upset. And then the sun started to rise and do its thing. And I found myself like thinking, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. Like, it was magnificent. Like, you know, when the colors are like pink and like, it was just crazy. And I was like, this is awesome. And then I looked around and there was no one around. And I thought, I'm kind of sad that I'm the only one who's seeing this. I found myself grieved for a world where, like, there was something so beautiful, something so magnificent, something so awesome. But I'm here and most of the world is actually sleeping through it. And that made me terribly, terribly sad. And I think that sometimes what it can be like with Jesus is there is this magnificence, there is this beauty, there is this richness, there is this depth that he reveals every single morning, but so many of us are sleeping through it. But I wonder if we knew how beautiful, if we knew how amazing, if we knew how wild, if we knew how exciting, I wonder if more of the world would wake up to see it. I'm not talking about a sunrise, I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about meeting with Jesus, not just on Sunday, but I'm talking about meeting with Jesus every single day of your life. The secret place, it's a place of direction. It's a place of intimacy. It's a place of strength and courage, of healing and restoration, of purpose, and a place of provision. We actually can't be people who live off yesterday's manna, yesterday's feel, yesterday's encounter, because there's a fresh one available for us today. We understand that in order to take care of our physical bodies, we need to eat every day. But so many of us aren't actually caring and feeding our spiritual well, our spiritual life, and then wondering why it hits Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and are looking for our spiritual energy. Well, we haven't fed ourselves. We haven't fed ourselves. We're not actually nourished with the word. We haven't been with him. Does that make sense? You don't need anything more in your life than what he offers you in himself. You don't need anything more than what he offers you in himself. You need strength, it's him. You need grace, it's him. You need provision, it's him. You need wisdom, it's him. It is him. You do not need anything that he cannot give you. Exodus 17 is the chapter after. And the Israelites find themselves in a similar predicament, right? Except this time with water. Ah, we didn't have food, but now we need water. Okay, so they need water. And so what do? They do the same thing that they did before. They grumble and they complain and they say, why didn't you just leave us in Egypt? We might have been slaves. We might not have been free, but at least we had a bit of water. At least we had a bit of food. And so Moses does the same thing and he goes, he seeks the Lord. Make note that Moses responded to a need by seeking the Lord, okay? It didn't just, oh, we have a need. Bam, there it is. It's like he sought the Lord. He went out to seek the Lord. And the Lord spoke to Moses and he said, go with your staff and strike the rock at Horeb, and water will pour out. And so what does he do? He goes and he does that and water pours out and it's amazing. Fast forward to Numbers chapter 20. Israelites are still in the wilderness and they find themselves again in the same predicament. We need water. And so what does Moses do again? He goes and he seeks the Lord. And the Lord says to him, Moses, go to this specific rock and speak to the rock and water will come pouring out. And Moses goes and he strikes the rock with his staff. And in God's mercy, water came pouring out anyway, but at great cost. Because he was instructed to speak to the rock, but in his distrust and disobedience, he was striking the rock because that's just what he'd always done. That was what he knew. He knew it worked, so he just did it again. But this time, he actually forfeited his right or the call to take the Israelites into the promised land in doing this. In his mercy, he still gave water, but he forfeited his right to step into the more because he just did what he'd always done. Because he just did what he'd always done. what happens is that when we stop opening up our heart, we kind of become a bit hard-hearted. So we end up just doing what we've always done. So, oh, well, this got me here. Well, I've made it this far without joining a Connect group, and so I don't really need to. Or I've made it this far. I've made it 15 years without a proper secret place, devotion life, Sunday to Sunday. It's been hard, but it still worked. I'm still okay. Well, yeah, maybe. But what if in doing what we've always done and not receiving the fresh mercies of each day, we actually forfeit where God wants to take us and what we want, where he wants to go? When we close our heart to daily communion, we end up relying on a method and a formula more than we rely on a person. And the gospel message isn't relying on a formula or a method. The gospel message is relying on a person about coming back. This might have worked last time, but it's not necessarily going to get you to the more that God actually has for you. So many of us live our week-to-week lives settling on yesterday's encounter, yesterday's wisdom, yesterday breakthroughs, thinking that that's going to sustain us and get us to where we need to go. But the truth is that God doesn't really care so much about formulas. He cares about intimacy and having a relationship with you. That is why he invites us back day in, day out, day in, day out to receive the fresh mercies and the fresh provision that he has laid before you. Today, not yesterday, today. Manna, when you translate it, it actually means, what is this? The food of the Israelites was a question that needed to be answered. Every morning they would open up their eyes and they would go out and they would collect a miracle called, what is this? It's only one way to find out. What is it? What does it taste like? What does it feel like? Does it nourish me? Well, only one way to find out. You got to partake of it. You got to do it. Manna, what is this? They woke up every morning and they needed the answer that they didn't have. So where did they go? They had to try it. They had to try it. They had to be in it. The Lord met them in the gap of their understanding. So what do you do when you wake up in the morning? What do I say to that person? How do I minister to that person? God, I feel anxious and confused. What do I do? Well, in the gap of your understanding, that is where God will meet you if you go out and partake in what he has given you. Are you there to meet with him? Matthew chapter 6. Worship team, you can join me. Verses 31 to 34, it says, "So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Jesus is literally saying that there are plenty of troubles that await you in the morning. I don't know about you. I don't know how you wake up in the mornings. But I am predisposed to wake up troubled. I wake up stressed and anxious, trying to figure out how I'm going to get everything done, how I'm going to say everything I need to say, I wake up troubled, just not knowing what I'm going to do. But the Lord has been teaching me over the past few years that every single morning I wake up and he has laid before me fresh mercies to partake in. And I don't need to worry about tomorrow. I don't need to worry about yesterday. I don't need to worry about a couple of months' time, because the truth is the Lord holds me. The Lord has provided for me, and my only responsibility is to do this: seek first. Seek him and everything else will be given to you. You don't have to fix it. You don't have to solve it. And I don't know what needs that you walk in here like in this room today. I'm sure there's plenty. I have plenty. But every morning I'm forced into this place where I say, God, I don't have a solution. I don't have the ability to be able to provide for myself. I can't just find the strength to do this day that I really don't want to do. I can't just find peace. I need the one who gives peace. So I need to go to him, because it's about a person. It's not a what, it's a who. It's not a what, it's a who. So he's constantly inviting us back into this place of daily communion, the art of returning back to Him again. It will bless your life. God wants to do extraordinary things in your life, not just on Sunday when you respond to an altar call. He wants to do it on Thursday. He wants to do it on Friday. He wants to do it on Tuesday. Every single day of the week, there is this beautiful, mighty presence of God that has laid out everything for you. Will you say yes? Will you receive? Will you go out and meet with Him? When I think about the defining moments of my life, we often think about the camps and the conferences, even as a teenager. But when I reflect on the past 5-10 years of my life, the best moments that I've had are the ones that nobody else sees. When I've been healed and delivered of trauma, it has been in the privacy of my own devotion time. I'm not saying it can't happen here. I'm just saying that God doesn't just want to do a work in your life. He wants to do a deep work in your life. Will you let Him? The best moments of my life have actually been the ones that you guys would have no idea about. Because it was simply me in my need, in my desperate need, in my weakness, in my failings, in my fallings, just coming towards Him and saying, God, I need You to fill me. I need You. You need provision, it's Him. You need strength, it's Him. You need wisdom on how to parent your kids, it's Him. Jesus is the only place that we should be going to get strength and to get grace for everything that He has before us.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.